KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. More than 20 tribal organizations are urging the Trump administration to respect tribal sovereignty and uphold treaty and trust responsibilities. The coalition sent a letter to President Donald Trump, the Interior Secretary, and members of Congress on Sunday. This follows actions by the administration in Trump's first 2 weeks in office, including a canceled memo which sought to freeze federal loans and grants. The letter states that recent orders are raising concerns among tribes and tribal organizations, including urban Indian organizations across the country, which provide healthcare, education, economic development, and other services to tribal communities. The organizations say questions remain about how federal agencies will interpret and implement the administration's executive orders and policies moving forward. The National Indian Health Board, the National Congress of American Indians, and the American Indian Higher Education Consortium are among the groups which sent the letter, emphasizing tribes are sovereign nations with unique political status and are not special interest groups. Tribal leaders across the country are seeking to build a relationship with Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum. He was confirmed by the U.S. Senate last week. The former governor of North Dakota received support from the five tribes in his state. According to North Dakota U.S. Senator John Hoeven, Burgum received support from more than 185 tribes. During his confirmation hearing in January, tribes were mentioned several times. He was questioned about tribal sovereignty and tribal consultation. Here's how Burgum described working with tribes.
Tribal consultation to me as governor of North Dakota has meant actually spending time and going to the tribes, listening, sometimes listening for hours to really understand what the issues are, and then in getting to people ahead of time, and then working on things that are important.
Burgum highlighted one area of concern in his state to improve public safety, saying he helped achieve agreements with tribes on law enforcement. Much of his hearing focused on energy development, but conservation and protection of sacred sites were touched on. Tribal leaders are hopeful he'll bring his work on government-to-government relationships and his knowledge of Indian country to his position as Interior Secretary, as he now oversees the agency in charge of Indian affairs and the management of public lands. Housing shortages and overcrowding affect most of Alaska, and the North Slope is no exception. In particular, the remote region faces additional logistical challenges, but also unique economic opportunities. That was the takeaway from a recent North Slope Borough Housing Summit held in Anchorage. The event highlighted affordable ways for residents to buy or build homes in the Arctic. Jack France is the director of the Borough Housing Department. He says that homes in the region are falling apart faster than new ones are being built.
You also hear about it when you have, you know, a young adult that wants to stay on the North Slope but has to move down to one of the lower cities just because of lack of housing on the North Slope as well.
France says that the country's most northern region, which is predominantly Alaska Native, is in a unique situation. The remote geography makes shipping and construction challenging and expensive, but he says residents of the oil-rich region also have interest and resources to purchase houses. He says that more than half of the North Slope homes are owned by residents. The Housing Summit aimed to connect potential home buyers to existing financial opportunities, available contractors, and affordable ways to ship supplies. For example, he says summit panelists discussed how residents and entities could form a co-op and order supplies together to cut shipping costs.
When you talk about economies of scale, generally, just more you order, the bigger discount you get.
The borough plans to put together a guide listing banks and contractors who are looking to work with buyers in the region. They also plan to present a report on the summit during Kivyuk, which is a midwinter festival being held this month. They'll also discuss it during future village visits. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for over 40 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Kugtash. For more than 40 years, Ramona Farms has revived ancient traditional foods. Tepary beans, pinoli, polentas, and more, all from store.ramonafarms.com. Ramona Farms supports this show. Omnye.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.
At 10 to 40% of the workforce across Alaska, this would upend entire local economies.
State lawmakers hear from nonprofit organizations about the uncertainty caused by President Trump's funding freeze. From Alaska Public Media, this is Statewide News on Alaska News Nightly for Monday, February 3rd. Good evening, I'm Wesley Early. Also tonight, legislators call for the release of a salary study from Governor Mike Dunleavy's office.
There's a lot of concern about why we don't, as a legislature, have the draft reports, especially as the funders of this information.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Rural Alaskans knowledgeable about fish and wildlife resources in their region may want to consider applying for a seat on the Federal Subsistence Regional Advisory Councils. Council meetings serve as a forum for public involvement in federal subsistence management. Apply by Sunday, February 16th. More information at 1-800-478-1456 or email subsistence@ios.doi.gov. This message sponsored by the Office of Subsistence Management.
Alaska nonprofits face immense uncertainty due to the Trump administration's pause on federal grants and loans. That's the message state lawmakers heard during a House Judiciary meeting today. Lori Wolf is executive director of the Forica Group, a state nonprofit association that advocates for the sector. She says nonprofits in the state receive about $1.2 billion from the federal government yearly, and that funding impacts every Alaskan.
Every Alaskan is a nonprofit beneficiary because nonprofits are woven into the fabric of our communities.
Wolf says if taken as its own job sector, nonprofits would be the second largest in the state, behind resource extraction and ahead of fishing. She says services provided by the roughly 35,000 nonprofit employees in Alaska range widely from medical care and housing to fire safety and child care. In the weeks since the Trump administration's partial freeze of federal funds, Wolf says Foraker heard concerns from over 150 nonprofits across the state. She says nonprofits reported that they rely on the federal government for anywhere from 22 to 100% of their funding.
At 10 to 40% of the workforce across Alaska, this would upend entire local economies. Private philanthropy in Alaska also cannot make up for the difference in the loss of government investment. They are a leveraging tool, not a sole source option.
Jasmine Boyle is chief development officer for Rural Cap, a nonprofit community action program that primarily serves low-income residents in rural communities. She says many nonprofits rely on the federal government to reimburse them for services they provide, and the funding freeze has put many in a tough financial position.
We've already spent the money, because we signed a legal agreement that we would spend the money on certain things. And if we can't recoup what has already been spent in a good faith business relationship, that in turn causes institutional problems for every nonprofit.
Committee Chair Andrew Gray, a Democratic representative from Anchorage, says lawmakers expect to hear from state agencies about potential impacts from the federal funding freeze at a future date. Meanwhile, development projects need dozens of environmental permits from multiple agencies to move forward. It's federal law. On January 15th, then-President Joe Biden's Pentagon ordered the Army Corps of Engineers to kill permits for a road megaproject in northern Alaska. KOTZ's Desiree Hagen reports that now, under President Donald Trump, those permits aren't dead, but in limbo.
The Ambler Road Project proposes building 211 miles of gravel road, branching west from the Dalton Highway. Several tribes and conservation organizations say the road would have irreparable effects on the land and subsistence resources. Mining companies and development supporters, including Governor Mike Dunleavy and the Alaska Congressional Delegation, say the road is necessary to access a mining district. The first Trump administration greenlit the project. Multiple lawsuits challenged it, and after a lengthy review process, the Biden administration rejected part of the project in June of 2024, halting the entire thing.
So that left still the overarching 404 Clean Water Act
permit in limbo.
That's Rob Rosenfeld, a tribal rights consultant for several tribes who oppose the Ambler Road. 404 permitting is a part of the Clean Water Act. When developers need to dredge or fill wetlands, they need 404 permits from the Army Corps of Engineers. Ambler Road has these permits to cover the entire length of the road corridor, over 1,400 acres of wetlands. Rosenfeld says the Corps should have killed the project's 404 permits after the Biden administration's actions in June, but he says it dragged its feet.
And finally, in the 11th hour, on January 15th, the Assistant Secretary of the Army issued the order to revoke.
Rosenfeld says the Corps' inaction was against the wishes of 88 tribal governments that opposed the project. Corps spokesperson John Budnick confirmed the directive and timeline by email. Despite the January 15th directive, the permits remained suspended, not quite dead. Rosenfeld says it is uncommon for a commander or his staff to ignore orders issued by a superior officer.
I mean, the chain of command in the Department of Defense is something that's typically unbreakable. And I don't know if I've ever heard of it, of such a thing. It was either done intentionally or somebody defied it accidentally.
On his first day in office, Trump ordered that Biden's decision on the road be thrown out and replaced with Trump's own pro-development decision. Budnick says with the change of administration, the Corps is awaiting guidance, and more information from the Corps is pending. Representatives of multiple pro-road interests, including the state-backed Economic Development Corporation and three mining companies with stakes in the region, could not be reached for comment. Bridget Passarianos is the senior staff attorney for Trustees of Alaska, an environmental law firm based in Anchorage. She says the Corps has some options in the near future.
The Army Corps could, in theory, go forward with revoking the permit at a future time. They could reinstate the permit. They could modify the permit.
Passarianos says, in the meantime, the permitting is sort of paused. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
Lawmakers are pushing Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration to release drafts of a statewide salary study submitted by a human resources consultant. The calls to release the drafts come as the state faces an ongoing worker shortage. As of the end of last year, there were some 2,900 unfilled positions across state government, according to internal records obtained by Alaska Public Media. The shortage has persisted for years. In 2023, lawmakers appropriated $1 million to fund the study, comparing the state's salaries to those in the private sector and in other states. That study was originally due at the end of last June. But at a State Affairs Committee meeting last week, Department of Administration Commissioner Paula Varana told lawmakers the administration wasn't satisfied with what they received over the summer.
After receiving some early drafts of the report, it was noted that significant and relevant factors had changed since the study began.
She says those significant and relevant factors include a bill raising salaries for exempt employees and some routine collective bargaining. She says the final report is now expected March 31st. But that's well into the legislative session, and lawmakers in both bodies say filling state vacancies and retaining state workers are top priorities for the session. State Affairs Committee Chair Representative Ashley Carrick, a Fairbanks Democrat, says the draft reports would be helpful.
There's a lot of concern about why we don't, as a legislature, have the draft reports, especially as the funders of this information. And I know personally I'd really like to see a draft, and I'd like to, if not, know exactly why that's not information that the legislature has access to.
The governor's office and the Department of Administration jointly denied a public records request from Alaska Public Media asking for the draft reports. Some Republicans, though, say they understand the Dunleavy administration's decision to keep the drafts under wraps. Representative Kevin McCabe, a Big Lake Republican, said during the hearing that releasing an incomplete report could put the state at a disadvantage as lawmakers assemble the state budget.
I totally understand that releasing bad data would be worse than no data at this point. I mean, bad data could seriously harm us in our budget discussion and everything else.
He says it's important for lawmakers to see the full picture. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, Kenai Peninsula residents get a closer look at a planetary alignment.
It's special because it doesn't happen very often, and because we're up here on the northern axis, we'll actually get to see a bonus seventh planet.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
How does Alaska's land fund community services for Alaskans with behavioral health conditions and developmental disabilities? Through the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. The Trust Land Office manages 1 million acres of lands to maximize revenue generation, with earnings supporting millions of dollars in trust grant making each year to help improve mental health outcomes for beneficiaries statewide. More at alaskamentalhealthtrust.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Mental Health Trust.
The Anchorage School District released a draft budget on Friday that makes significant cuts to programs and staffing to make up a $111 million shortfall. The proposed budget cuts all middle school sports, the Ignite program for gifted students, some high school sports, and increases the pupil-to-teacher ratio by 4 students across the district. In an email to parents, ASD Superintendent Jarrett Bryant pointed to a decade of flat funding from the state and inflation as the primary causes for the deficit. School Board President Andy Holloman says he worries about teachers being able to focus on curriculum in their classrooms with so many students.
If there's not a significant increase in outside of BSA funds or an increase to the BSA, this keeps happening every year, and it gets worse every year that we don't adjust the BSA.
High school hockey, gymnastics, swimming, and diving would all be cut, as well as over a dozen nurses and librarians from elementary schools. The budget assumes no increase to the base student allocation, the per-student formula that determines school funding. Holloman says there isn't a magic number to increase the BSA that would make the cuts unnecessary. He supports Sitka nonpartisan Representative Rebecca Himshut's bill, which would increase the BSA by over $1,200 next school year and adjust the figure for inflation yearly after 2028. First-year Anchorage Democratic Representative Ted Eichscheid says the number one issue he heard about on the campaign trail was education funding.
If we don't change what's happening here in Juneau, those cuts are going to continue. And to me, it's a crisis. I think we are in a crisis situation.
Governor Mike Dunleavy in a Friday press conference introduced education legislation that included some additional funding for schools, but no increase to the BSA. The legislature failed to override a veto from Dunleavy last year that would have significantly increased the BSA for the first time since 2016, but later passed a similar one-time funding boost. A teenager was fatally shot at a roundabout in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley early this morning. According to a news release from the Juneau Police Department, the fatal shooting happened shortly after midnight. Earlier today, police identified the victim as a 16-year-old boy and the shooter as a 24-year-old man. Their names have not been released to the public. Here's JPD Deputy Chief Craig Campbell.
Both drivers appear to have been unknown to each other before this incident.
According to police, the 24-year-old told officers that he was followed by another vehicle beginning near Safeway and continuing to the roundabout connecting Stephen Richards Memorial Drive and Mendenhall Loop Road. The man reported that he drove around the roundabout multiple times before stopping. He says the teenager then pulled up alongside his vehicle. The man told police the teenager was upset and yelling and appeared to have a rifle in his hand. He says the teenager then pointed the weapon at him. Then the man pulled out a pistol and fatally shot the teenager.
The driver was pronounced deceased at the scene. A pellet BB-style CO2 rifle was found with the deceased driver.
Police say the shooter called 911 to report what happened and waited at the scene for police to arrive. After a preliminary investigation, police released him from custody. Campbell says JPD will continue to investigate the incident. The information they gather will be forwarded to Juneau's district attorney's office, who will determine if charges are warranted. Meanwhile, Alaskans on Medicare, which mostly serves people over 65, often have trouble finding health care providers in the state, and that's especially true for some specialists. Patients sometimes wait for more than a year to get an appointment or can't find anyone in Alaska at all. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has more on what this means for the patients the program serves.
Karen Wifter took a trip from her home in Anchorage to Tampa, Florida a few years ago.
I could, hug my sister's neck, and I got to stay with her.
But the point of Woofter's visit wasn't to see family. She was there to see a primary care doctor.
I've heard that a lot of people here in Anchorage who need a specialist or some kind will fly to Seattle. But for me, it was easier to go back home to Florida.
She'd moved from Florida to Anchorage for new love around age 65, when she became eligible for the federal Medicare program. But when she was trying to find a primary care doctor, everywhere she called said they weren't taking new Medicare patients.
You feel just sort of like forgotten, and nobody likes to feel forgotten or ignored or let down. And that's me talking in good health. I just really feel for those folks on Medicare who perhaps have ongoing issues that they need doctor's care. God bless them. I don't know what they do.
Woofter isn't the only person in Alaska on Medicare struggling to find the care they need. Some providers are worried about the lack of access for Medicare patients and say it's only likely to get worse as Alaska's population ages. Janae Larson coordinates the Medicare Information Offices for the state's Department of Health. She says access to Medicare providers throughout the state can be challenging. In Anchorage, she says people have trouble finding primary care doctors in private practice.
Outside of Anchorage, we hear more about people having access to specialists. And with specialists, it's because there may not be that particular specialty in their smaller community, or it's a traveling specialist that may come from Seattle to that area on certain occasions.
She says it's a common problem for Medicare recipients in rural areas around the country. But in Alaska, where many communities are not on the road system, that adds another barrier. And there's something else exacerbating the problem in Alaska. Reimbursement rates for Medicare are below what providers receive caring for people with private insurance or even Medicaid. Providers say it's not enough to cover their costs, and many won't take Medicare patients for that reason. Or sometimes they'll limit the number of Medicare patients they accept at one time. There are no legal requirements that an office take Medicare at all. And that leaves Medicare patients who are part of an expanding older population in the state left to scramble to find providers who will see them. Larson says some people, like Woofter, travel long distances for care.
If people also have the financial means to go outside of Alaska to receive care, Medicare Part A and B cover you anywhere in the United States and its territories.
But the federal program doesn't pay for any travel. That's different from the program for low-income Americans, Medicaid. Patients who can't afford to travel to a provider have limited options. They can wait, or hope a provider comes to their area, or simply go without the care they need. For primary care, Larson says she directs people to bigger clinics, like Providence or the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center. Lisa Aquino is CEO of Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center. She says they're part of a program that gets reimbursed at slightly higher rates for Medicare.
What we're reimbursed with in terms of Medicare is not as much as we receive for Medicaid or private insurance. It doesn't cover its costs either, but we, as a nonprofit, are going to assure that everybody who needs service is going to get that service.
She says almost a third of the center's patients last year were on Medicare. It's working for now, but she worries about what will happen as the population of older residents in the state grows, and as some specialists reach retirement age.
Potentially, we're just at the beginning of a time when it's going to be maybe even harder to find specialists, depending on the field.
According to a representative of the center, it's hardest now to refer their patients to rheumatologists and endocrinologists. Patients often have to wait up to a year to see those specialists. Karen Woofter, who flew to Florida for primary care, eventually found a local doctor who accepts Medicare. But if she needs to, she's open to flying back to Florida for care. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
GCI, keeping schools and students connected across the state with a resilient and redundant network. Details at gci.com/education. Are you involved in subsistence hunting, fishing, and trapping? The Federal Subsistence Board is seeking young leaders to fill non-voting seats on the Subsistence Regional Advisory Councils. Interested Alaska residents ages 18 to 25 are to submit a letter of interest, including two references by Sunday, February 16, 2025. More information at 907-444-1376. This message sponsored by the Office of Subsistence Management.
The North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, scrambled U.S. and Canadian fighter jets last week to accompany a formation of Russian aircraft flying through international airspace off the coasts of Alaska and Canada. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The fighters were part of two combat air patrols NORAD launched Tuesday to intercept several Russian aircraft flying through the Canadian and Alaskan air defense identification zones. In a news release issued Thursday, NORAD says the Canadian combat air patrol included two CF-18 fighters and one KC-135 air tanker. The news release said U.S. aircraft intercepted the Russian formation as it approached the Alaska-Yukon Territory border. The five planes in that combat air patrol included two F-35 fighters, likely from Eielson Air Force Base, along with two KC-135 tankers and an E-3 electronic surveillance plane. NORAD said the Russian aircraft remained in the Air Defense ID zone and did not enter sovereign Canadian or U.S. airspace, so they were not considered a threat. Some media reports suggested the Russian aircraft may have been part of a large-scale Arctic training exercise that wrapped up last week. Tuesday's intercept occurred on the same day that an Eielson-based F-35 crashed after a malfunction forced the pilot to declare an in-flight emergency and then eject. The pilot was hospitalized and later released, and the Air Force is investigating the cause of the crash. A few hours after the Russian aircraft intercept, NORAD dispatched two Alaska-based F-16 fighters to Greenland. The news release says that sortie also was not related to any current threat. For KUAC News, I'm Tim Ellis.
The Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race will run its scheduled southern route next month. Despite little snow in some parts of the state, including in Anchorage, race director Mark Nordman says conditions along much of the 1,000-mile trail to Nome are actually pretty good. He described the trail as favorable for mushers. There's a lot of snow.
I need frozen ground, frozen water, and of course then we want snow on the majority of it. When I talk about favorable, it's just a nice way that you can control a dog team. You can put in what we call the snow hook and stop your team and tend to their needs and just have a nice run to Nome.
Nordman says while the snow is good most of the way, it's not great in the twisty and steep Dalzell Gorge between Rainy Pass and Roan, and he's concerned about that area. But that stretch of trail is notoriously difficult, and it didn't warrant changing the course. Race officials confirmed the Iditarod would follow the southern route in a news release Friday. The Iditarod usually follows the northern route in even-numbered years and the southern route in odd-numbered years. The first third of both routes are the same, but at Ophir, they split. And in odd years, like this one, mushers pass through the communities of Shagaluk, Anvik, and Grayling before joining back up with the northern route in Kaltag. Nordman says the southern route can be more difficult because it's less traveled.
The big difference is that nobody normally travels from Ophir nowadays pretty much to Shagaluk. This southern route can be more difficult because nobody's traveling it but the event.
The Iditarod starts on Saturday, March 1st, with its parade-like ceremonial start through Anchorage. The next day is the official race start. It's normally an hour north of the city at Willow Lake, but race officials say that could change depending on snow coverage, though it will not impact the rest of the course. With just 34 mushers, this year's Iditarod is set to be the second smallest in the race's history. Last week's frigid temperatures didn't deter more than 200 people from shuffling in and out of the Challenger Learning Center in Kenai, where five telescopes were each pointed at a different planet. As KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara reports, everyone was there to learn more about space while also observing a rare celestial event.
Amid a flurry of kids running between activity stations, Amber Kiker's flight suit and radio headsets stand out. She's the education director at Kenai's Challenger Learning Center. perhaps best known for its simulated space missions and science workshops. But on this night, she's helping visitors appreciate the night sky and a planetary alignment.
It's special because it doesn't happen very often, and because we're up here on the North Pole, the northern axis, we'll actually get to see a bonus seventh planet.
Planetary alignments themselves aren't that uncommon. What's special in this case is the number of planets. Kiker says the term planetary alignment can be misleading.
When we say in a line, it's not like what you think of as a straight line. It just means they are within view, within your line of sight. Think of it that way.
Visitors were treated to a host of space-themed activities, including solar system necklace making and constellation charts. Liam Kelly is a fifth grader at Testamina Elementary School and is also Kiker's son. He uses a piece of fabric pulled taut over a ring to demonstrate how gravity works in space. Kelly sets a heavy object in the center and spins smaller objects around it. They're slowly pulled in toward the heavy object. It's a gravity well. Holding the heavy ball in his hand, Kelly explains that the activity reflects how planets and satellites move in our solar system.
This is our inaccurate replica of the sun. The sun is a big thing, and big thing has big gravity.
After showing how the smaller objects rotate around and toward the heavier one, Kelly removed the heavy ball from the center of the gravity well. The other objects stop moving. A display next to the activity explains that the force of gravity keeps objects in orbit around other objects. When there's no gravity, there are no orbits.
But if we remove the big thing, nothing happens.
The event was also an opportunity for the center to show off its Star Lab, basically an inflatable planetarium. There was so much interest in the activity, the center added showings. Set up in a room all its own, people climbed through an inflatable entryway and sat around a projector that covered the domed space with a presentation about the solar system.
There was almost certainly water on the red planet long ago. Now only small quantities of underground water remain. It is possible that a simple form of life could persist somewhere below the surface.
Outside, a line of stargazers stretches from the telescopes to the Challenger Learning Center's front doors. Kiker points to a bright dot in the sky over the Kenai ice hockey rink. Venus.
It's the brightest, and then if you go a little down southeast, you'll have Saturn with the rings, but it hovers around the horizon, so you only get Saturn for a couple of hours.
According to NASA, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn will all be visible throughout February. Venus, Mars, and Jupiter will be the brightest. And for those who missed Wednesday's event, the Challenger Learning Center is hosting a free stargazing event next Thursday. Reporting in Kenai, I'm Ashlyn O'Hara.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org and wherever you get your podcasts. We had reports tonight from Desiree Hagen in Kotzebue, Eric Stone and Clarice Larson in Juneau, Rachel Cassandra and Ava White in Anchorage, Tim Ellis in Delta Junction, and Ashlyn O'Hara in Kenai. If you want to send us a news tip, question, or comment, email us at news@alaskapublic.org. Our audio engineer is Dave Waldron. Tim Rocky is our producer. And I'm Wesley Early. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible in part by your local public radio station.
Start your day with a quick look at the most important stories from around the state with Alaska Morning News, your dose of headlines each weekday morning. With reporters covering every corner of Alaska, you can be sure you're up to date on the stories that matter to Alaskans. Join me, Ava White, for Alaska Morning News, weekdays on your local public radio station.
Public media is about you, the community we serve. Thank you for tuning in. This is Statewide News on Alaska Public Media.
Bide my tongue, bide my time, wearing a warning sign. Wait till the world is mine. visions I vandalize, cold in my kingdom size, fell for these ocean eyes. You should see me in a crowd, I'm gonna win, there's nothing to help. Watch me make them bow, one by, one by, one. In a crowd, your silence is my favorite sound. Watch me make them bow. One by one by one, one by one. Count my cards, watch them fall. Blood on a marble wall. I like the way they all scream. Tell me which one is worse. Living or dying first, sleeping inside a hearse. I don't dream. You say, come over, baby. I think you're pretty. I'm okay. I'm not your baby. You should see me in the crowd, I'm gonna run, there's nothing to hold. Watch me make them bow. One by, one by, one. One by, one by. You should see me in the crowd, your silence is my favorite sound. Watch me make them bow. One by, one by, one.
Yeah. working together, screwing up for worse or for better. You, I want you.
That masterpiece, no limit, baby. Give you that black car, no limit. Just know when you're rolling it like me, there's no limit, baby. Make you say, no limit. I see my murder that, no limit, baby. Give you that ghetto D, girl, no limit. Just know when you're rolling it like me, there's no limit, baby. You know you fine, baby, you know that you fine. I'm just trying to make you mine, trying to make you mine. Yeah, I'm trying to make you mine. Put a tingle in your spine. We got a vibe, we got a way. You should ride on it. All of the places I can take you, girl, is limitless. So if you've never been, girl, I would just love to take you there. You don't have to worry about a thing. I gotta let me show you better than. Cause I may not know you, just let me hold you. You be my soldier, like you from the north. Make you say, no limit. Got that masterpiece, no limit, baby. Give you that black car, no limit. Just know when you're rolling it like me, there's no limit, baby. Make you say, no limit. I see my murder that, no limit, baby. Give you that ghetto D, girl, no limit. Just know when you're rolling it like me, there's no limit, baby. Cars on decline, baby, the cars on decline. You roll with me and we shine, baby, we shine. Yeah, la mama, we shine. Just pick a destination. Go ahead, show me you can get like everything. Show me like any car, any house. Baby, you can get like any ring. Anything. And I can knock it down. Through the night, through the day, yeah. I'll knock that out. Baby, you call me Sugar Ray, yeah. I may not know it. Just let me hold it. You be my soldier. Like you from the north. Make it say, no limit. Got that masterpiece, no limit, baby. Give you that black car, no limit. Just know when you're rolling it like me, there's no limit, baby. Make it say, no limit. I see my murder that, no limit, baby. Give you that ghetto D, girl, no limit. Just know when you're rolling it like me, there's no limit, baby. Find out that wine, baby girl, I ain't lying. Make my homie drop a dime, commit a crime. Jeopardize my lifeline, tell the CEO by the sign. Ain't no limit, baby, we do it like it. Ain't no limit, baby, when you a starter. Martyr outsmart the robber. Get a session with Bacardi Barbers. Kerosene, kerosene. Drama spinning one machine. I ain't wasting prima donna. Never limit, I'm a stoner. Silly that them never run us. Them boys, they all forgive us. I done seen a rack of them. I'ma spend my night with them. I can put carrots all over you. Carrots all over you.
Never mind me on the pop. Man, I been getting high with these fools.
And she said all her friends face, so she solo rocking. And she a real bad, bad. She ain't got a Photoshop it.
No limit. I see my murder that. No limit, baby. Give you that ghetto D, girl. No limit. Just know when you're rolling it like me, there's no limit, baby.
Down, but he holds the mountain, yeah, blue like sky. Can you tell me why it's sports in this way? A child that play, open up my lips, but what's there to say? Come play, come play. As the river runs down, as the river runs through, as he runs through the field with all his companions. This is the scene of the most enchanting. I am a drunken fool, drunk off the love that holds up the moon, drunk off the love that binds me and you to the most high. Yeah. And just close your eyes and hold
song and soul to maintain internal acts of gold. Close your eyes and feel it unfold. Rush like a river from the highest mountain. Drink up the fountain and stop your counting. What kind of wonders you have in this cavern? Oh, so enchanting. Sing like a madman, mad with the love of a wife or her husband. Child or mother, sister or brother. Rain and the thunder, the rain and the thunder. Sing for the Most High, sing for no other. We are all notes in this eternal song. God plays his flute, we all dance alone. Close your eyes and
like Charlie say, again and again, that's always babe. Back when I was poor, I only had a heart to break. We were splitting meals, two straws and a chocolate shake. You had my back and that's true to facts. When you need your boy, pick up the phone and do
I'm
the math.
Only one yeah. call away.
I'm only one call away.
I'll be there to save the day.
Pick up the line, I got you.
Superman got nothing on me.
Time I feel there's no one to save me. This all or nothing really got away, you're driving me crazy. I need somebody to hear, somebody to know, somebody to have, somebody to hold. It's easy to say, but it's never the same. I guess I kinda like the way you numbed all the pain. Now the day bleeds into nightfall, and you're not here to get me through it all. I let my wander in this time. I fear there's no one to turn to. This all or nothing way of loving, go be sleeping without you. Now I need somebody to know, somebody to hear, somebody to have, just to know how it feels. It's easy to say, but it's never the same. I guess I kinda like the way you help me escape. Now the day bleeds into nightfall, and you're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you pulled the rug. I was getting kinda used to being someone you loved. And I tend to close my eyes when it hurts. Sometimes I fall into your arms. I'll be safe in your soul till I come back around. For now the day bleeds into nightfall, and you're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you pulled the rug. I was getting kinda used to being someone you love. But now the day bleeds into nightfall, and you're not here to get me through it all. I let my guard down, and then you pulled the rug. I was getting kinda used to being someone you love. To let my guard down, and then you pulled the rug. I was getting kinda used to being someone you love.
The Yunga Tribal Council is a proud sponsor of KSDP and Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting. Thank you for your support.
There's a letter on the table. I've never seen it there before. I don't have to read it, 'cause I already know. Oh, oh. It's been a long time coming, and I've been awake for days. I know we can make it, but things have got to change. Your words say it's hopeless, but I know there's more between the lines. Still here, believe.